And welcome back. Jamming out again.
Yes. It's the funnest part of the show.
Well, so far.
No, it's the funnest part of the show.
Okay.
It really is.
Well, we haven't done this show yet, so...
Pretty sure the opening song will still be the funnest part.
So who are you and why are you my
Hello,
chair?
My name is Dan Fernandez. No, I'm Brian Keller. This is the Brian Keller chair.
That is the Brian Keller chair, and this is the Dan Fernandez chair.
And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. My name is Brian Keller.
Welcome back. Big news.
Big news.
That's right.
Silverlight.
Silverlight 5 RC is available.
Which we all know stands for Raccoon Candy.
Yes, that's right. So tell your raccoons. Lots of really good stuff in here. But this is the release candidate, and you're probably wondering what's new in Silverlight 5.
I am wondering, Brian, what is new in Silverlight 5 RC?
Well, that's why I pulled up the PDF, because there's a lot of stuff in here.
There's 3D.
There's true 3D graphics.
True 3D.
Yeah, true 3D.
As opposed to...
Well, there's like perspective 3D, which is not quite 3D, that Silverlight 4 introduced.
Okay.
But this is true 3D.
As in, you need to have glasses. No.
Yeah. Yeah,
is that what it is?
Your raccoons need to have glasses.
Yes.
You're already covered. lots of cool things in here. Like one of the things that you can do now with Silverlight video is you can actually fast forward through your video, like mm-hmm. you can with WMVs.
What do they call it? Trick speed or something?
Trick play? Yeah,
trick
variable
play.
Speed playback.
Trick play.
I wish I had this back in college because a lot of my classes actually were online.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And for an hour-long lecture, you're spending 60 minutes watching that lecture. Whereas with this, you know, if the professor's kind of slow, like, all right, I get it, you know. You can spend it
very, very
minutes.
Important when watching Charles Torrey videos in the HTML5 player.
Oh,
you can right-click
yes.
and go. And I believe like 1.4 times, like 1.4 is kind of the sweet spot where it's definitely speeding up.
Right.
But you can really, it's still very legible.
If you go to
2 times, it actually starts like very chipmunky.
I have the reverse opinion about the Charles Torrey videos.
You actually want to slow them
so
down.
Dense that it takes me a while to catch up and understand.
You actually
what's
want to
going
slow
on.
Down Charles
That's
even more.
Right.
So you want the air Rubik's cubes to be very.
Yeah.
Do you know that he does this? Do you see this when Charles does his video?
No, I haven't seen that one. Yeah. See, it's taking me. I'm still on videos he did 3 years ago because I watch him at like 0.6 speed.
Really?
Not really, but. But no. Anyway, I can now.
Where do we go to download the Silverlight 5 SDK RC?
I don't know the link. It's in the show notes. It's right.
Silverlight.net. Is that it?
Sure.
I'm sure it is. Sorry, but you're going through the features. I apologize.
Yeah. So a couple more in here.
Real time sound.
Real time sound. Yeah.
Low latency
cool. audio. So yep. then you can actually hear it right away.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And then there's a legal notice. In here.
That's feature
anyway,
number 18.
Lots of great features. We talked about this. Obviously, Silverlight.net is all over this. So Silverlight TV, rather,
yep.
Is all over this. So go check it out. Oh, and multiple window support. So if you're writing applications
Ooh.
That want to take advantage of multiple windows, you can do that.
Can that be spanned across multiple monitors as well? Is it the same thing or is that different?
I believe yes.
The answer to the question is yes.
First. Yes. I guarantee it.
All right.
If you don't like that, email, you know.
Pete Brown.
Yeah, Pete Brown. He'll,
he wants to hear from
you. Exactly. Yeah. What's next here?
Next is ASP.NET VNext series from The Goo.
That's right. So last night, about 11 o'clock p.m., I noticed that Scott Goo posted that he was going to...
That's the gooing hour.
Yes, that is the gooing hour. I guess, you know, he has kids now, so I guess that's when they go down.
11 o'clock? How old are his kids? Like 20s?
Well, by the time they go to bed, and then he writes the blog
that's
post
true, that's
and
true,
everything
yeah.
else. Anyway, so he said he's going to be blogging a lot about what's coming in ASP.NET VNext. So
uh-huh.
this is a series, and he says you can come back and check that out. And the first one is, what do you title it? HTML Editor Smart Tasks and Event Handler Generation. So the idea is, I know you do a lot of ASP.NET development.
I do a lot.
Yeah. So
I love my ASP.NET.
You could probably appreciate this, though. I'm sure you've done it in, like, FrontPage. You used to use FrontPage.
I have used FrontPage, but it was a long time ago.
So you know how, like, with FrontPage, you have, like, a design time view, and uh-huh. then you've got, like, the HTML view.
Sure,
you drop
sure,
back
sure.
and forth.
Uh-huh.
Well, with a design time view, you get a lot of, like, helpers. Like, if you select a grid and you want to style that grid or that table, rather, you get helpers that help you come up with, like, the properties, the borders, all that kind of stuff. Or you can drop into code where you get none of that assistance, and
all right.
you just have to know that typing this tag gives you that different effect on the grid. Well, now they're starting to introduce a lot of those helpful tooltip windows back into the into the HTML view mm-hmm. and vice versa, or the code view, I guess, with an ASP.NET sure. application. So he takes you through a few examples. There's a nice video that that Mads puts together that takes you through a few of these examples. I saw one the other day where they were actually doing color pickers, mm-hmm. and so you're like font color equals, and then you've got actually instead of having to remember like your different colors,
0, 1, yeah. E, F, 3,
they actually
7.
Just have a nice little grid right there, right within the IntelliSense on steroids kind of view.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so that was never there before. This is.
I'd never seen it before. I believe those are all new features.
These are all new features.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Exactly. So speaking of Visual Studio Vue.Next, this is a blog post roll-up by Zane. Now I can't remember Zane's last name. I talk to him all the time, but
he doesn't have a last name. He just goes by Zane.
Yeah, that's probably a smart idea. Mm. So Zane is working with Sarah Ford on the next version of the Visual Studio Visual Studio Tips and Tricks book,
uh-huh.
and he's just started to talk about a few of his favorite IDE features that have already been announced with Visual Studio Vue.Next.
I'm doing this. That's what? My dunce cap.
IDE?
IDE stands for?
Oh, Integrated Development Environment.
Of which Visual Studio is one.
Visual Studio is one. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What are some others? Or we don't care, right? We just want Visual Studio.
I'm pretty sure everybody uses Visual Studio now, but yeah. but there's some like research IDEs like Eclipse nobody uses. It's just kind of a fun, you know, over there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, Integrated Development Environment.
Cool.
And then there's ITEs as well, Integrated Test Environments.
Okay.
So Microsoft Test Manager is one in our product line, and there's others from competitors.
Is that integrated in part of the Visual Studio Suite, or is that separate?
It's a part of the Visual Studio family.
Okay.
And then it's its own program that you launch. Okay. So anyway,
ITE.
Yeah, you learn something every day.
Every
day.
Especially
on this show.
Yes. But I still maintain the music is the best part.
If you say so.
All right. Up next, Nugget.
NuGet
1.5 released.
NuGet 1.5 released. So
and we discussed this, was it last show or the show before, but I asked you what was NuGet, and let me try and remember. Because you said that this is, oh gosh, I'm putting myself on the spot. This is a way to learn about new extensions and new... Am I on the right track?
You're definitely on the right track. So like if you're a developer, there's a lot, and we're going to talk about a few more on this show, but there's a lot of packages people have created to make your job easier.
Yep.
So, you know, the Bing Maps control we talked about.
Sure.
Maybe like just a new tool plugin for Visual Studio to make your life better. And those things all have their own like download experience, their own licensing experience, their own runtime experience. And so all these different things that that traditionally you would have had to like go to the website, read the README, see what it takes to set up on your machine, and blah, 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 blah.
And NuGet simplifies all of that.
NuGet simplifies all that, both in terms of discovery, in terms of downloading, installation, and updating. So, hey, there's a new version of this thing available. Here's what bugs it fixes. Here's what new features it adds. And so NuGet makes all that stuff easier.
And so it's relying on the people that are creating these extensions to create like NuGet packages.
Precisely.
And that can be then deployed through NuGet.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. And so this is a new version of NuGet. Most of what's in the 1.5 release is bug fixes, so there's not a lot of new features. Some of the things that I like that they have, or one of the things that I noticed that they have coming is support for multiple versions of .NET Framework targeting. So mm-hmm. on the last show, we talked about how with Mango now in the marketplace, you now have two different versions of the Windows Phone APIs,
sure.
libraries,
yep.
and everything you need to target. And so with NuGet, you may want to have different packages or different options or configurations based on what version of the .NET Framework the developer using it is targeting. And so that's one of the things they're going to be adding.
And
but this release is mainly bug fixes.
And is this release, is it both for people that want to create their own NuGet packages or people that want to receive the NuGet packages? Is it both?
The former.
So it's creating your own NuGet package.
I don't believe there's anything that you have to download as a consumer.
To consume it.
I could be wrong.
So that's baked into Visual Studio?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Cool.
Yep.
That's like two things I've learned today.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
crazy.
Yep.
My brain's about to explode. Very high quality image resizing in .NET.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool, and you know, I don't know what it is about our show, but we primarily cover things that are created or written by people that have very difficult to pronounce names.
Well, difficult to pronounce if you are an American.
Yes, that is true. So I'm going to try Kayvon Nyeri.
And I'm making fun of you because you spent the best part of a minute at the start of last week's show telling me there was a difference between NIC. And NICK for pronunciation.
Yeah, there definitely is, most definitely.
You are a strange man.
if you say so.
Anyway, very high quality imagery sizing.
Yeah, so Kevin, maybe it's Kevin. I don't know.
Let's have a look at his name.
I'm very sorry. Next week we're just Kayvon. Covering people with like Kevin Smith and
I'm gonna say Kayvon.
Kayvon. All right, that's great. So Kayvon is looking at the problem of being able to do image resizing in .NET.
Right.
And there's like an easy way to do it, in which case it becomes very lossy and you don't get high quality imagery. And then there's a much more complex way of doing it that he documents here that starts to take into account. It's like codecs and all the different metadata properties of the image. A bunch of stuff I don't understand, but mm-hmm. if I needed to do this, I would come back to Kayvon's post and steal liberally from there.
I do like the term very high quality because is it high quality or very high quality imagery sizing? Because there's a little bit of ambiguity as opposed to what that actually means in terms of is it fully lossless or is it's still lossy in some capacity?
Well, I'd imagine if you're going bigger, you're going to lose some, right?
Sure.
It's not like CSI where they can say computer enhance image and it just like totally.
No, but that's real.
Oh yeah, look.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That's cute, Nick. Yeah.
It's not real?
Yeah.
No.
No, it's not.
Anyway, we check this out. It's interesting.
Yeah, we should. And, yeah, definitely.
And, of course, it's lossless. It's silly for me to suggest that it could potentially be... of course, it's lossy. It's silly for me to suggest that it could be lossless. But I'm just interested in what actually is that quality level. Are you going from 100% to 98% or are you going to 70% or something?
Right.
It's probably in there in the blog post.
Yeah.
Which you should have read.
I did.
You did?
I did.
So
I don't,
can you answer
I don't believe. I don't believe he... Well, let's search for it. Loss. He doesn't even cover it at all.
All right.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
So speaking of Visual Studio extensions. That you should know about. This is a really great blog post that rolls up some of the most popular, or not even necessarily the most popular, but some of the coolest Visual Studio extensions that you should know about.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the productivity power tools, I'm sure you're using that day in, day out. You wake up to that. VS Commands, XAML Styler, I know you like that one. The TM Foundation Server Power Tools for the August release we talked about.
I love CodeMade.
CodeMade, this is one that I just found out about via this post. So CodeMade has a lot of really cool things, like as the name implies, to help you do things like clean up your code, to help you understand the complexity of your code, to help you, like, if you're, you know, really...
Make your bed.
Yeah, exactly. Make your bed. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
CodeMade! Yeah, that would be so sweet. If you figure that one out, give me a call.
I am CodeMade.
It also gives you a cool little like progress meter to know how long it's going to take for your builds to finish. So I don't know how they've worked that out, but you can
hang on,
see.
That doesn't already exist?
No,
in some fashion?
No. It just kind of says, you get this kind of like output window at the bottom that says, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this.
Oh, wow.
But you don't really have any indication. Then again, most Windows status bars, even though they do give you a status bar, it's not really a good indication of when it's going to be finished.
Although they're
getting there.
That for Windows 8.
That's right.
Yes, we discussed that last week.
We did.
Okay, create and share Visual Studio color schemes and adding your styles made easy.
Yeah,
this is something that you wanted to do ages ago, right?
I did want
to
do this ages ago.
I remember that from a This Week on Channel 9 episode that I didn't watch 3 years ago.
That's right. Well, apparently I forgot about it because I never launched it. But now Studio Styles is available. And so these are all different color schemes that people have put together and shared with others. I thought it would be cool to have ones for, like, alma maters. So, like, University of Florida, go Gators. And what's your alma mater?
We don't care in Australia.
Don't care?
No.
No? You don't have school colors? Nothing?
No.
No? Really? Way to just put it out there.
Yeah.
Fly that flag.
Yeah.
All right. Well... Moving right along.
No, seriously.
Really.
We don't have any.
You don't have football teams, aka soccer teams, or any
I
of that
think
stuff.
There
teams.
Was a there was a French cricket team.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess
might have been
New
it.
Zealand's part of Australia, right? They're just all the All Blacks.
It is. Well, we're actually
that'd
part
be
of New
really
Zealand.
Hard font
That's
to
the way
read.
It works.
It's just black on black.
So, and it looks like, you know, there's obviously a repository of color schemes here.
Yes.
Son of Obsidian seems to be one of the top-rated schemes. I'm wondering if some of these just fun, or is there science behind the kind of high contrast values of some of these things? Is there science behind, hey, a black background with primarily white text is actually easier to read if you are in a black, dark room or something?
I mean, there absolutely is a difference between colors and fonts and all those different things. I don't know if the people putting together this site have done that research, but it's fascinating. I went to a lecture years ago I can't remember the guy's name right now, but he was talking about, he works on fonts, and he was talking about all the different research that they did in order to come up with fonts that would be good for reading versus fonts that would be good for
Get Larry Larson started about fonts.
Oh, really?
He will talk for months about fonts.
Really?
Yeah, he's a font, he's a font file.
Font file.
A fontophile.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it mean if you hate fonts?
He's a fontite.
Fontite.
Anti-fontite.
Yeah, anti-fontite. Yeah, there we go. Seinfeld. Okay.
Fontophobia.
I think we've spent way too much of our viewers' time on fonts.
How to record Skype voice conversations with your code doing it.
Right, that's correct. So
we need some little clarification on that title.
Well, that means programmatically. Okay. That means you know, I within Skype you can record, right? Or there's add-ins that allow you to record. But what if you wanted to programmatically write your own things to hook into what's going on with the Skype audio channels? I didn't realize this until I actually read this post that the Skype actually does have a way for you to subscribe throughout all of Windows. Anyone that wants to quote unquote listen to your sound can subscribe via the Skype APIs and listen to your sound. Yeah, so
That's a little scary.
Yeah, it's a little bit scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that an automatically on feature? Can you turn that off?
I don't know. I haven't gotten far enough into it, but okay. But yeah, that would
interesting.
That would be cool if you could write an add-in so that while you were like speaking with your girlfriend, you could be like, "Hold on a second, CodeMate, clean up my bed." That'd be awesome, and then it would just fire on that.
Or you could have something where it's monitoring the conversations with your wife, and when she says, "You never say you love me," you can say, "Wrong."
Actually, on
today, actually, I said it three times.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's
beat down. Not beat down, but you know
hilarious.
What I mean. Like, got the facts.
Yeah, I'm sure she would love that.
My wife would love that.
Yeah.
Codeplex integration with AppHarbor. I don't know what AppHarbor is. Tell me what AppHarbor is.
AppHarbor is it's kind of gaining a lot of popularity for app hosting, for the ability for you to
It ties into Windows Azure, is that right?
I don't know exactly the integration between Windows Azure. I know it ties into GitHub very well.
Okay.
So the idea is that, you know, I'm building my project, building, and it's one thing to like create a build, which gives me like a package of my binaries that I now have to go install and deploy and set up and configure and blah, blah, blah. But AppHub makes it really easy to go that last mile, if you will, to say, I want to now publish, and now here's my AppHub account, and now 3 seconds later, my new blog or my new whatever application is now hosted over on AppHub.
So what are the similarities, or how does it compare to something like CodePlex or SourceForge? What's different?
Well, so CodePlex, the closest analog to CodePlex, I guess, would be SourceForge or GitHub, whereas AppHub is for the hosting of the application.
Oh, okay, so it's compiled and it runs.
Yes, exactly. Okay. It's runtime versus like development, testing, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then this is CodePlex integration
AppHarbor. Between CodePlex and AppHarbor. So if you're a CodePlex developer, you can configure it in such a way that you can just press a button, and a few minutes later, it's over on AppHub.
Very cool. Links in the show notes.
Yes.
Using the Bing Maps WF control to map earthquakes and addresses.
That's right. So we talked about the WPF control last week on the show.
And I'm working on my app.
I trust you are. Yeah. You're not really. But
how much time do I have? When are you going to check on me?
Well, I'm sure.
Do I have a few weeks?
I'm sure your CodeMate is almost finished with it.
Yes, CodeMate, write my app.
Yeah, and make the bed
with the Bing Maps WPF control.
Exactly. So Pete Brown, love Pete. He heavily featured in today's show. He went out and
as he should be.
He started writing some posts about using the WPF map control to plot the locations of things affected by the earthquake.
Now, do you know if in this particular example, is there some kind of U.S. Geological Service that he's connecting into to automatically get the latitude and longitude of where these and the magnitude of these earthquakes where they're happening? Or is it a little bit more manual? Because that's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
if there was like an API for the U.S. Geological Service.
I don't know if he did that in this. I'm going to say yes. Seems like something he would do.
And then if it's not correct, blame Pete Brown.
Yeah, just email. Make sure he gets
email
stuff
him.
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh.
If you just search for, if you Bing Pete Brown email address, you'll get something.
You know, it's funny because I think Pete hates me now because one of the...
He does. I was actually talking to him before.
Really?
He's like, Brian Keller.
I'll tell you what. Let me tell you why. Okay. So one of the previous This Week on Channel 9 episodes, which you watch them all, so I know you
every
know
single
this,
one.
But for our viewers...
At 1.4 speed.
He actually had a GPS application that he was talking about, and it would capture where you went and kind of track that and log it so that you could, you know, kind of like a cheap poor man's GPS tracker application.
Yep.
And I pointed out that based on the information that he shared in his blog post, you could find out exactly where his house was and that we should all...
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, exactly.
Ruh-roh.
So I don't know if any of these locations are his house. I think he's probably smartened up since then and isn't quite doing
unless
that
he's been letting off like seismic charges in his backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's registering with the U.S. Geological Service.
Yeah, so that would be interesting.
Windows right Azure along. Toolkit for Social Games and Tankster version 1.
Yeah, so we've talked about this a bunch in the past. This is super cool. So if you're building social games and you want to take advantage of Windows Azure to do everything from, you know, host your leaderboards to being able to find get matches for players to doing notifications, that sort of thing, then the Windows Azure Toolkit for social games is a great way to do that to get started. And they just hit V1, okay. So congratulations. I think we need to send them a cake or whatever you do.
So the previous releases were kind of beta RC
exactly.
releases.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So this is Nate Totten doing a lot of really great stuff there.
You know, I played the Tankster beta and I failed at it. I mean, I couldn't kill the tanks or anything.
Oh.
Did you find it complex? Did you play it?
I didn't play it.
I obviously didn't read the instructions or something, but I'm going to go back and try it again.
I'm still on Modern Warfare 2.
You're still on Fallout 3.
Yeah, that's right. We were talking about that for the show. Yep.
You need to move on to the next
I
one.
I do.
Windows Azure Toolkits. Great anecdote about Fallout 3. Well done there.
Thank you.
Windows Azure Toolkits for devices now with Android and new WP7 version 2.
Yes, that's right. So the Windows Azure Toolkits makes it really easy for you to build mobile applications, which then take advantage of data that you might want to store in Windows Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started supporting Windows Phone 7.
Yep.
They then started supporting iOS, and now they're supporting Android as well.
Wow, so three out of the four. Three out of the big four.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping for BlackBerry support.
I'm really hoping for Motorola StarTAC support.
Yes, we keep talking about that.
It's coming back, I tell you.
It is.
You know, everything is circular. All these trends, they always come back. StarTAC, man.
Absolutely.
It's coming back. 5 helpful Windows Phone Mango Sketchflow tutorials. I had a question for you. I don't know if you can answer it. I'm going to ask it again. Sketchflow, is that part of Expression Blend?
Yes, it's part of the Expression Blend toolkit. So
okay.
It's
like a view mode, isn't it? Sketchflow, is that correct?
A view mode.
Oh, that's a Nick-ism.
Nickism.
But in terms of it's one way to design to kind of like prototype inside of you told
prototype,
me what it is.
Yes, you hit the keyword. So the idea is,
but it's not the only way you can use Expression Blend to do it. It's one method, is that correct?
Tell
me what it is.
Okay, that's a great idea.
I thought I knew.
Yeah.
Obviously not.
I think you're close. So Expression Blend is a tool that you can use to create...
I'm wearing my dunce hat today, just so everyone knows what
I guess I would call them pseudo-interactive prototypes,
okay.
Right? So we have a new storyboarding tool that's coming out with the next release of Visual Studio based on PowerPoint. Now, PowerPoint, it's quick. You know, your average information worker knows how to use it.
That's how the only way I've ever storyboarded and prototyped has been in PowerPoint.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's one level. You're like, hey, is this what you wanted? Throw some shapes together and, you know, click from one slide to the next. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I wanted. Well, Sketchflow kind of takes another step forward, which is to say, hey, let's make this actually interactive so that if I click on this drop-down list, maybe it shows some values, and maybe it's even bound to some data source over here.
Right.
Maybe I can click from here and go to this page and click here and get to another page or whatever. And then from that can be what you use to generate your user feedback and do your rapid prototyping. And then that becomes something that you throw away when you start your actual application work. But it's really a tool for getting to the core of the requirements that you're trying to discuss with your users.
Okay.
And so the idea with this particular series of walkthroughs is that if you're building phone applications, it's equally as important to storyboard those as it might be for a full-blown desktop application.
Mm.
In fact, in some cases, I would argue that maybe it's even more interesting for you to storyboard those or to sketch those out and build a working prototype because UIs for phone applications, I mean, we know this, it's not always intuitive. Like,
no.
It takes a lot of work to get that thing right.
And the UI is what makes or breaks an app.
Absolutely.
Oh, especially on a phone.
Yeah.
And these are just 5 helpful Windows Phone Mango tutorials.
That's right. And our next story.
And our next story
is actually very related to this because this is a Silverlight TV episode where John Papa was interviewing Karina and she goes through and talks about not only the importance but some tips that she shares with respect to doing wireframing of Windows Phone applications as well.
Wow. And they're up to episode 83 of Silverlight TV.
They are, yeah.
John Papa, he mustn't sleep. I think all he does is just punch out episodes for
Silverlight TV. Yeah, him and Oprah, I guess, are kind of in the same category there.
You know, I've never seen John Papa and Oprah in the same room at the same time.
Oh.
I'm just putting that out there.
Wow. You heard it here first.
My phone is ringing. I need to silence it.
Hi, Blair.
Hello, Blair. Next slide, please.
Next slide.
C9 going native with Charles Torres. I believe is the correct pronunciation.
I believe so.
This is episode one, which is actually episode two. Because he's all technical and accurate with his naming. And they're discussing VC++, VNext, CRT, which is obviously cathode ray tube monitors, and C++ and beyond. What is it Visual Studio ++? Is that what VC++ is?
Well, so Visual...
Oh, sorry, Visual C++ is what I meant.
Yeah,
sorry.
Visual C++ is the C++ language and associated tools within Visual Studio.
Is that what is referenced here and
yeah,
he's talking about in this episode?
That's what that means.
Okay, and he's talking about, obviously, the next version of that. Mm-hmm. Talking about CRT? I'm not familiar with that. CRT?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask
me.
Oh,
let's just talk about cathode ray.
It is
it's giant
19-inch
monitors
on your old TVs.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
And C++ and beyond. And this is a relatively short episode for Charles. 43 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yeah, that'll only take me 4 hours at 0.6 speed. Yeah.
But yeah, if you 1.4 speed, if you did that, you can probably knock it down to about 28.
I would think so.
That's a lot better.
Yeah.
That's almost an episode of This Week on Channel 9. Oh, look, we're at almost 26 minutes.
Exactly.
Picks of the week!
Picks of the week! So, that was good. So my pick of the week, this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek video that Microsoft made in conjunction with VMware's big conference this week. So, I don't know, did you see this? VMware is actually, they have this... It's actually kind of impressive. It's this big semi that they're taking around to all these different locations in the U.S. and they're talking about
what?
Like a tractor trailer.
Oh, it's a big
like
truck.
A lorry, I think, is what they call it where you're from.
It's the back end of Optimus Prime.
Yes, that's exactly how you would characterize it. In fact, it might even be the same.
Right. Is Optimus Prime the prime mover? Is he actually powering it?
I think Optimus Prime would probably just be the front of it.
Actually, no,
because the trailer.
The trailer part was actually some kind of command center, wasn't it? And like, didn't other Transformers ride up the back?
No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
And they could launch missiles and stuff from it.
So, did the back have a name, or is it just like?
No,
this is Prime's like junk in the trunk.
His trunk junk. Chunk trunk. I don't think it had a name.
Yeah,
that's a question for our loyal
for our
viewers. I'm going to ask C. Kurt. That's his responsibility to find that.
So anyway, this video you've got to check it out. It's basically like this dude from the 70s era, like selling stuff out of the back of his van. So it's Microsoft made this video to kind of make fun of the fact that they're selling cloud-enabled solutions out of the back of a truck,
beautifully airbrushed Cougar on the side.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Very funny. And then my pick of the week. I'm really boring. I just keep coming back to the building Windows 8 blog.
Yeah, you're kind of a Sanofsky stalker.
I really am. Yeah. I'm just amazed that how regularly they're releasing awesome updates.
Oh yeah,
like
there's a lot of stuff.
There's two things a week, maybe three, with videos and everything. And this one is about accessing data in ISO and VHD files, which is really cool. They're almost actually making disks obsolete in some way because you can kind of really easily mount, unmount, open up ISOs just inside of Windows now. You don't need any third-party tools to do that.
Right. That's correct. And you know who this is going to be particularly exciting to is people who are MSDN subscribers because MSDN still uses those ISO downloads and TechNet as well.
Yep.
I do have one criticism though with the ISO file format.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any built-in CRC checking. You know CRC?
Yeah.
It doesn't have any built-in CRC. So if you download a file...
The hash file has to be separate, right? The MD5 file, whatever you call it.
Yeah, you'd have to manually check that.
Yeah, okay.
So you could mount an ISO file and then be, you know, copying bits or installing whatever you do and then find that you actually have a file in there that's corrupt.
Is there an updated version or is there an alternate format, an image disk format that has built-in checking?
I have not seen one. Huh. So, I mean, zip files, RAR files, all those now have, like, built-in CRC checking, but ISO does not. That said, ISO is still important. I like the fact that Windows 8 is going to allow me to easily mount those. I was slightly disappointed to see that they don't allow you to create them. You still have to get another third-party tool to create ISOs, but that's relatively niche. I can understand why they didn't want to make that a core part of the operating system.
Sure.
Yeah.
And with that,
I
believe that's the last slide.
That is the last slide.
So we say goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.